We all have a different definition of success, but we're all on different journeys on that pathway to success. And it's very often that people self-sabotage themselves without even realizing it on that road to success. So we're going to talk about some of the common ways people self-sabotage, and even in some of those more subtle ways that people don't usually pick up, and how you can flip the script and go from self-sabotage to your own confidence and motivation. So that's what we're talking about in this episode. Our guest who joins us today is the world's leading confidence expert, podcaster, and best-selling author who teaches people how to learn confidence so they can eliminate self-doubt, hesitation, and social anxiety. He teaches people how to master conversations, accelerate in their careers, and create deeply fulfilling relationships, all fueled by boosting confidence. And he is the founder of the Center for Social Confidence. Our guest who joins us is none other than Aziz Gazipura. Aziz, welcome to the show.
Fantastic. I love it. I'm excited. I'm excited to have this conversation with you.
Aziz, I'm so happy to have you on Breakthrough Success. We met at New Media Summit, which just made the coronavirus cut. So that's definitely, yeah, but that's how we met. And yeah. I knew I had to have him on the show. And self-sabotage, that is something that affects way too many people. So like a lack of confidence, people could recognize that right away as something that would affect them. And I feel like if you're in that situation, you feel it will be able to pull you out of that, or at least just give you insights on that within this episode. But what are some of those subtle ways that people commonly sabotage themselves?
I think it's a great question. And for the most part, it's so subtle that people rarely think, I'm self-sabotaging right now. Just like people rarely say to themselves, I'm settling right now. That's very unusual for us to have that level of clarity and honesty with ourselves. Usually, we have a reason why something's not working. Well, I can't get this because of that. I can't get this because I don't have the right team members. I don't have the right support. I don't have the right resources. We blame something external, or we blame something in ourselves. Like, I'm just not motivated enough. I put it off. I procrastinate it. And we have these stories, and those stories are us settling when we believe those stories. And they're one of the main ways that we sabotage ourselves, because we buy into the story. We're like, yeah, I just don't get stuff done in that way. I'm just not good at the sales, or I'm just not good at that thing. And then the next thing we know, we've sabotaged ourselves from actually, you know, creating the success that we want or sustaining it.
And it's interesting how the way Aziz described that is like, you know, the classic excuse, the reason for why I didn't do it. But looking at that reason gives you a deeper idea as to what is really holding you back, especially when you see the same reasons popping up and the same motivations for those reasons popping up as well. And when you do really hit on certain themes that are holding you back, I feel like that's when you can make some progress. And I'm wondering, how do we figure out what those key themes are that are preventing us from moving forward?
Yeah, I think that the biggest, underneath all the stories, the biggest real reason why we don't either A, make the progress we want at the speed that we want, or we find ourselves kind of pulling back even as we start to succeed, it comes down to one thing, which is fear. And there's fear underneath that story. I'm not good at the sales. What's underneath that? I'm scared. We might say, no, I'm not going to say scared. We might say, I'm uncomfortable. I'm uncomfortable with that. I'm uncomfortable asking for the sale. I'm uncomfortable putting myself out there for marketing. I'm uncomfortable having YouTube videos of myself, AKA I'm scared. But we don't, you know, we don't want to look bad. It makes me look bad if I say I'm scared. So I'm uncomfortable, you know, emailing my list or doing the marketing, all the things we need to do to grow our businesses. And so if we really want to look at where we're holding ourselves back, where we're sabotaging, I'd say make a list. I do this with clients. I say make a list of the top five things that would scare you or make you uncomfortable to do that might grow your business. Might, or they, you know, they want more clients, or they want to reach more people. What are five things you could do that scare you or make you uncomfortable that might grow your list, grow your reach, get more clients? And I have them make the list. And most of the time, once they make the list, that's when they start to see, oh, I've been having all these stories, and underneath, I'm just scared of that discomfort.
And I think scared is, I mean, that could go to just a lack of confidence also. And it's scared, it's fear of failure, it's perfectionism. I mean, those are just some of the common threads. And it's interesting how you use the word might, like five business ideas that might grow your business. And I feel like there are people listening who are like, I don't want to do something that might grow my business. I want to do something that will grow my business. But at the same time, all those wills start as mights, because just because like YouTube for me works really well. You hear that, you're like, oh, YouTube's going to work well for me too. It right. might. Just because it works for me doesn't mean it's guaranteed to work for you. So that's how all these things start as mights. And I'm wondering if you could share with us for like five things that might grow your business. How do we commit to doing them and experimenting rather than just saying these things might help me, these things might not, and let's just pull back?
Yes. And I think that's just the fear overtaking us again. The idea is like, it might work and it might not. Unless I know for certain it's going to work, I'm not going to try it. That's a very already self-sabotaged approach, because even the things that you do end up working are probably not going to work instantaneously on the first step. Your first YouTube video that you ever put out there is not going to have 100,000 views in a day. You know, it's not going to happen. And so we need to pick one of those things and we need to commit to doing it. I remember I worked with a client and he was very uncomfortable with putting his face out there in video on Facebook and YouTube and other places. And it was like this, before he met me, it was like this long process, many, many, many months of stories, and I'll get to it later. And here's why I don't like it. And here's the worst part. People create an identity. I'm the kind of person who doesn't like to do that. I'm the kind of person who doesn't do that. I'm not one of those showy people. I don't want to be the face of my own business. And really it was fear. And so he's like, okay, fine. I'll do a video and put it out there. And I said to him, I challenged him. I said, if you're going to do just one, then don't bother. He's like, what do you mean? I thought you were encouraging me to do this confidence stuff and take the risk. And I'm like, yeah, but not with that energy. Because if we're like, I guess I'll put it out there and see what happens. And if I get an instantaneous affirmation from the world, then I'm good enough and I'll keep going. It's like, no, you need to start offering it to the world consistently. And so I said, if you're going to do this, I would encourage you to commit to 30 days in a row, 30 videos. Uh-huh. And that way you just eliminate that need for instantaneous approval from the outside world. And if the first 5-10 videos get no views, great, keep going. If you get a negative comment, which is what he was really terrified about, great, keep going. You'll learn how to handle it. You cannot learn how to handle that negative comment or that sense of, I'm not enough because I didn't get enough views. It goes back to when we were in middle school or whenever our origination of feeling not popular is. The only way to handle that, you can't handle that in your head before you've taken the action. The only way to emotionally work through it is to get into that situation, have it happen, have that negative comment. I'm sure you've gotten those, and we all do online. I remember someone on one of my books wrote, the only good use of this book would be to rip out the pages and use it as toilet paper. And I actually literally laughed when I read that one, because I was like, that was creative. That was a really specific creative criticism. But that's going to happen. And the only time we can deal with that emotionally is once we're doing it. So I'd say commit to do that, one of those things on your list, but commit to a period of time, 30 days, doing it X times a week, whatever it is. That way you get into the process of it rather than that immediate outcome.
And I mean, the criticisms we get, like we could just like sit back and share stories of some of the most brutal ones we've gotten. But that's just what you have to embrace the criticism. It means you're doing something right. It's a little cliche, but it is true in the sense that, like criticism is not going to come to you if you don't put out the videos. You get the criticism because you put the videos, you're taking action, and you're getting the criticism from a bunch of people who aren't busy putting out the videos in most cases. Now, sometimes you get corrective feedback, which is a completely different manner. But I do want to go into something you mentioned where you said, don't just do one video, do like a 30-day commitment. And that's just so valuable, because like growing a YouTube channel, growing a podcast, growing in any goal is a long-term game. It's not, let me just throw this thing out there, feel good about myself, and then move on. It's that push. It's continuing to excel and not just settling at a standard? And how do we get better at going that extra step? How do we go from, let me just put a video out there and see if it works, to let me commit to doing 30 videos in 30 days?
I think you hit the nail on the head with that word, which is commitment. And I like to teach that there's five levels of commitment. And, you know, level one is really you're not committed at all. Maybe I want it, maybe I don't. Meh. You know, level two is when there's you want it, but it's a fantasy. It's like, I want it with no effort. Give me the pill. Give me the magic trick. And I think a lot of people will buy things online that promise to teach them, you know, and that's what, yeah, you know, a lot of the marketing training will say, you know, how to get the six pack abs with no effort whatsoever. Watch the felt, you know, the fat melt right off. In 2 minutes, right? Yeah. You know, and the same thing in the business world, right? How to achieve X incredible result, this figures, this many audience, whatever, with no effort whatsoever. And it's like, you know, that level of commitment won't actually produce any results. And then level three is when we say, okay, I'll try. And that's where my client was when he said, okay, I'll try a video. I'll do it. And that's why I told him, don't bother, because trying is weak. You know, Yoda, do or do not, there is no try. And so when we try, we put in 30% of our true energy, maybe, because what we're doing is we're still very uncomfortable. We don't want those negative reviews. We don't want the, you know, the lack of success or the sense of failing immediately from starting. And so we put in a little bit and then we pull out. And that's a form of sabotage. And then we'd say, hey, I tried. And then we don't do it again. So we need more energy. We need more commitment. And level four is when you start to get real results. And that's when you say, I'm going to do my best. And that's when you say, I'm going to learn this. I'm going to study it. I'm going to put these videos out there. I'm going to, you know, doing 30 videos in 30 days. That's a level four kind of thing. I'm going to do my best. And that's a very powerful place. And you'll start to get significant results from that place. But I always tell people, that is not the ultimate level that we want to get to have the confidence that we need to achieve what we want. Because there's a level higher than that. It's level five. And you might say, well, geez, what's more than 30 videos in 30 days? That sounds pretty intense. And I said, well, level five is I'll do whatever it takes. Because it's not about me doing my best. It's not even about me anymore at all. It's about the outcome. It's about the result. And usually the results that matter most, that are going to get the most, that are going to be achieved, are the ones that involve other people. That's like, I want to make a bunch of money. It's like, I'm going to sell this thing that's going to help a lot of people and I'll make money, right? It's the other people part that really fuels us. And it's not either or, right? But we really want to have that energy. So level five is I'm going to do whatever it takes. Because at level five, let's say you put out those 30 videos and you're still not getting traction. You're still not getting views. And if you say, hey, I did my best. I did those 30 days. You know, but versus like, I'm going to do whatever it takes. So I did that. Now what else can I do? What else can I do? What else can I do? And we just consistently keep asking, because until we find our way to the outcome that we want. And if someone's playing at level five in an area of their life, then their success is inevitable. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time. That is an important last phrase there, because you could be like, whatever it takes for like 2 weeks and you don't see the success. You're like, oh, I did whatever it takes. You got to do it for... You just got to be patient, but do whatever it takes. And that's just a great mentality to have. You mentioned something interesting. We were joking about, you know, the six pack in 2 minutes with no effort whatsoever. And you see this a lot in business, especially if you're getting a lot of ads served to you, where, you know, it's build a successful business in a weekend, make six figures with no effort, regardless of your experience. And you usually see a Lamborghini. This kind of stuff's like, it's just frustrating to see, because it creates this wrong perception of what kind of work you actually have to put in. But I do feel like there are people who will look at that and think that's actually possible, that there's no work, you could learn everything in a weekend. And I bring this up because I feel like there are people who will compare to the wrong crowd of people. And I feel like that chips away a lot at confidence. So I'm wondering, how do we avoid comparing ourselves to people and just doing our own race instead?
That's a great question. So are you saying comparing ourselves to the person who says, hey, I did this really quickly and easily with no effort.
I would just think anyone in general.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, comparison is one of the, again, subtle ways that we really turn against ourselves. And we might not know it. I mean, when we're beating ourselves up in our head, you know, like, I'm a loser, I messed that up, I'm an idiot. I mean, we know, like, wow, this is pretty bad self-talk. Like, I, you know, this is probably not the best way to deal with this setback. And then we eventually shift that and get back on our own side. But with comparison, it's not so obvious. And it could just be like a malware program that's just running 24/7. You know, every time you look at something on social media, because you're selectively paying attention to different things. You know, there's an endless amount of stuff you could pay attention to in the world and online. And what emerges from that infinite field of, you know, energy there is this, that person that, you know, just like when I was younger and struggled with confidence a lot in dating and relationships, all I would see would be like, you know, the charming, confident guy. And how he, you know, oh, look, there's another guy with the, and also the guys that looked a certain way. Oh my gosh, they're taller, they're more muscular. See those guys everywhere. That's what came out of the world to me in my vision. So when we do that, that comparison, it will instantly suck our own energy down and our own enthusiasm and, worst thing, our own sense of possibility to create what we want in life. And so we want to start taking that kind of comparison very seriously as a form, almost like, let's say, eating something that you know is really unhealthy for you, just really bad, that makes you sick, it rots your teeth, whatever it is. And you know, like, whoa, I need to lay off of that. I don't think I need it. Like going on a fast or a abstinence from it. And that's what we want to do with comparison. It's like to really start to treat it as utterly unhelpful. Like totally, you might say, well, no, I get inspired by people. It's like, no, that's not comparison. That's inspiration. That's, you get fueled by them, you get motivated by them, you want to model them. Great, use all that. It's a very, you'll know the feeling, it's very different when you're, yeah, you're like, oh, I want to do what they do. You feel energized. And when you look at someone you compare, just tune into your how you feel. If your energy goes and you're drained and you're discouraged and you're demoralized, that's the kind of comparison we got to interrupt. And the best way to, first things first, just noticing that it's toxic can help you stop doing it. As soon as we identify something as toxic, we have a natural impulse to be healthy and not do it. Then the next step would be to label it when it's happening. Say, ah, comparison. I'm falling into the comparison trap again. And then have some little quick ritual that you do that helps you shift out of it. Whether it's like, hey, I don't do that anymore. I'm going to focus on this. Or, hey, I'm going to focus on what I'm going to contribute. Or whatever it is you say, something you say to yourself that helps you get off of that track. Think of it like a track, and you get out of one track and onto another. And the way that any change works is we have to catch when we go down the bad track that's not serving us and shift it. And then next time it happens, catch it and shift it. And if we do that, again, over the course of a relatively short period of time, the comparisons will cease and you'll have so much more energy to really give your gifts to the world.
We have more great content coming up in this episode, but first we have a message from our sponsor. Are you looking for more customers for your business? If so, you should follow Anthony Sarandria's work. He's recognized as one of the top customer generators in the world and runs a team that drives over 1 million customers each year. You can schedule a consultation with Anthony and learn more about his work over at anthonysarandria.com. That link will be in the show notes. Anyways, let's get right back into the episode.
Yeah, and it's just a matter of catching ourselves. I mean, it's tempting to just keep comparing ourselves to other people because we want that benchmark. But the only benchmark that really matters is where you are right now and what you're doing to build up your benchmark, not where you are in relation to someone else. So I think, Aziz, I mean, that's just a really great piece of advice. And you've shared a lot of great insights on this show. I know you have a show for people who listen to a lot of podcasts and they're looking to expand their horizons beyond breakthrough success, which, you know, just keep coming back and keep visiting other people's shows. But all joking aside, where do we go to continue following your work and journey?
Yeah, well, the podcast that I have is called Shrink for the Shy Guy, and it's about helping activate our boldness and confidence in every area of life. And then I also have a YouTube channel called Get More Confidence. And again, it's focused on the same thing. Numerous books on Amazon. as well. So if you just, someone just goes to draziz.com, draziz.com, there'll be tons of resources there, lots of free resources with YouTube and the podcast, and then coaching and live events and however far someone wants to go with this. This is my purpose and my mission. And I get fascinated with this. And there's one thing I'd love to circle back to real quick, which is that comparison thing. It can be helpful to look at, we have this hunger inside that says, oh, they have the whatever, they have the six figures, or they have this, whatever the goal is that you want, they have the number of followers. And then inside we feel this like, I'm less than them. And then we feel this like emptiness or craving inside. And we have the story, the illusion that when I get to X number of views or followers, when I earn X amount of money, when I have whatever it is, then I'm not going to feel this hollow feeling inside. I'm going to finally feel abundant and enough and worthy. And that is a story, and it's false. And there are so many, I mean, you can ask, you know, so many people that when they got the thing, did it really resolve their insecurities and their problems?
Yep.
And it's like, no, because that confidence is an inside job. And yes, you know, having more money or having the relationship, it can improve your life, but it's not going to change the way you treat yourself, the way you think about yourself, the way you feel about yourself. That's an inside job. And the beautiful thing is you could shift it right now. It's possible for you to feel confident, at peace, fulfilled in who you are right now, and be hungry to go create something, not because you're needing to prove something or be enough, but because you feel called to do it. You feel energized to do it. You feel inspired to do it. You feel drawn to do it. There's something that's just something better. It's a higher quality fuel, as I like to call it.
Yeah. And I mean, this also goes, because money is the common example here in fitness. Those are the two most common ones. With money though, there's a saying, money doesn't make you better. Money just makes you more of who you already are. So I think that's a good way to close, combining that with the insights Aziz has shared, because it goes to say that if you feel like, you know, like you're not making six figures, you don't feel good about yourself, and then you do finally make six figures, it's just going to be seven figures. That's going to be the next thing, you don't feel good about yourself. But then it's going to be eight figures. And so that's the stuff you fix now instead of thinking money's going to fix the problem. So yeah. I just want to throw that out there. I do thank you so much, Aziz, for being on the show. And I feel like people are going to get a lot from this one. If you guys did enjoy this episode, make sure you go to the Facebook group, markaberry.com/Facebook, and just let us know what was the big takeaway you got from this episode.
I love it. Thank you.